This podcast is brought to you by IBM. IBM Collaboration Solutions improve employee productivity by securely bringing together voice, video, and data in a single integrated solution. To learn more, go to ibm.com/takebackcontrol/unify.
Have you bought gasoline lately? If so, then you can understand why fuel conservation has become a front and center issue for business and IT alike. As oil surges past $130 a barrel, the cost of energy efficiency has come into striking relief. Most IT organizations know about the small things they can do to save power, such as urging users to take advantage of their power management features or just turn their PCs off at night. But much bigger efficiencies can be achieved across the entire business by applying technology to people, workloads, the data center, and the rest of the infrastructure. For example, collaboration tools can reduce commuting needs and increase opportunities for employees to work from home. Travel costs can also be cut. Collaborative development can reduce the need for routine meetings that require large groups to gather in one place. In the data center, energy consumption can be reduced by increasing resource utilization, and that means reducing floor space and energy bills. Business processes can also be redesigned and optimized to reduce energy consumption. The key is to deploy software that enables organizations to go green from end to end. Now, that's not just power management. It's software that's tuned to the task of reducing an organization's overall energy footprint. And in this podcast, we're going to look at some of the substantial benefits that can be achieved with these tools. Hi, my name's Paul Gillen. Welcome to this IBM Innovations Podcast, IBM Software for a Greener World. My guest today is Christopher O'Connor. Chris is a vice president in IBM Software Group, which has recently released an innovative set of tools that permit IT organizations to go green by applying automation to their most energy-consuming processes. We'll be back to speak with Chris right after this word from IBM.
This podcast is brought to you by IBM. IBM Collaboration Solutions improve employee productivity by securely bringing together voice, video, and data in a single integrated solution. To learn more, go to ibm.com/takebackcontrol/unify.
So, Chris, let's start with some facts on energy consumption by businesses. What are some of the key reasons to go green?
Businesses have multiple different drivers that are pushing them these days to go green. They're facing a variety of challenges that impact their business that they have minimal to no control over, as well as they have a set of challenges that they can influence. Some of the challenges that they have no control over are things just like energy costs continue to rise, right? We're all following the price of oil, and all of that translates into energy and power consumption prices across their organization, both their people and their workloads and their infrastructure. That consumes that power. Those prices continue to go up, so companies are very interested in what they can do about it to help control those rising costs. And on the other end of this, companies continue to grow. They continue to expand their workloads. They continue to internationalize and move their people around the world. And in many cases, they're dealing with regulatory mandates that all also impose different levels of compliance or constraint on different enterprises. And these are all drivers that make companies think about energy efficiency, carbon footprints, and in general, the desire to understand what they can do to green up their organization.
Now, we've heard a lot of talk about energy conservation in the data center, of course, because of the very large amount of power that's consumed. But I think your initiative has a broader mandate. What do you mean by green software?
IBM's approach is to take this on holistically. We look at all the different parts of an equation that people can affect. And there certainly is the facility and the data center equipment, which bears, without a doubt, a concerted effort to look at its efficiency and its layout. But when you look beyond the actual equipment, the actual chillers and the hardware and the power supplies on those data center floors, there's a variety of other things that you can do. And they start with how you organize your people and optimize your people for work efficiency and energy efficiency at the same time. So people are a huge place that you can go after for using software to be able to enhance your capabilities. Being able to work from home, distance learning, collaboration software, tools that allow you to do development not only around the world for productivity, but also around the world to take advantage of costs, as well as speed, as well as being able to run the economics of efficiency at the same time. So the people are certainly an area you can go and address with your software. Workloads. they're another area, right? You're going to have servers, you're going to have a data center, and you're going to want to optimize that. But when you go above the actual facility and the hardware, you start getting into the workload itself. How is that workload put together? Does the workload operate dynamically, only bringing up the resource it needs when it needs those resources? Or does the workload stay up all the time? Does the workload run at efficient points in time against your kilowatt charges and against your own internal tariffs that you might have in whatever region of the world that workload is based? All are different things that you can do with software to enable scheduling, to enable workloads, shifts in SOA in terms of the dynamics of how services are activated and remain active. All translate into real costs, real equations that you can implement across both your people and your workloads. And your people and workloads, of course, sit on top of the infrastructure improvements that you might already be making.
Now, you mentioned several areas of business process optimization that can help reduce energy demands. Are there any of those in particular that seem to give the most leverage?
The notion of dynamic organizational capabilities, both from a business process as well as a workload point of view, really seem to be able to aid in energy efficiency at the same time. Computers consume power based on the activity that is upon them. The ability to have those workloads be dynamically brought up and down for services to be requested and to be brokered and to be constructed on demand, all are items that drive both a minimalization of servers, meaning you can now support more with unique individual servers, as well as when the server is active and inactive, it only consumes power when it's most active or consumes the most power when it's most active. And being able to reduce that activity only to the point in time when you need it all contribute to the efficiency of the organization, both from a content and size and need of the number of servers, as well as the activity and the workload that's on those servers as they're actually operating during the time.
And you mentioned workgroup collaboration as having some energy benefits. What are those?
So work groups are something that you can take a tremendous advantage of. If you look around inside of different companies, companies that are organizing people to be able to work from home get several direct benefits, for example. They're able to reduce the amount of carbon footprint, that is travel of the people going back and forth to work. Over 40% of the power consumed by you and me every day is generally consumed around commuting. Commuting back and forth to work during the weekday is the majority of that power consumption. So you're able to actually be socially responsible and quantify up by looking at the number of people that you've got and your work-from-home capabilities and actually reduce the carbon footprint of your organization. This might help you with regulatory demands. It might help you with compliance. It might even help you with social responsibility type aspects that certain governments are asking companies to partake in. So these are real carbon footprint benefits that you get by having your people be able to collaborate, work from home, or distance themselves from the actual workplace. Now, to the company itself, when that person doesn't show up at work, typically the power in their building and their office stays off. The computer in their office might be reduced or might be turned off also at the same time. And the amount of facilities, direct support staff that you need can be reduced back to just the data center versus the traditional laptop, desktop center support that might exist otherwise inside of an organization. So if you look around at certain companies, IBM even included, IBM, for example, has 40% of its workforce now work disconnected from the office on a regular basis. This translates into tremendous amounts of power and compute savings that are real dollars to the bottom line of the IBM company. And we have many other clients that are doing the same type of thing using our collaboration software, our distance learning, and our distance development software to enable people to work from remote or different locations and receive different amounts of tariff or different amounts of facilities chargeback that you can get by organizing your workloads and your work groups in the correct manner.
Another term you used was SOA, or service-oriented architecture, and I hadn't thought about that as really having energy-saving benefits. So where are the benefits there?
SOA allows you to connect services when the services are actually needed. And this has the effect of being able to take individual computers and use them more efficiently for the types of servers and the types of capabilities that are needed. And in the old transaction management days of past, you used to peg up services and keep them connected all the time. SOA allows you to dynamically construct services, enable them for the service for the duration of the transaction, deconstruct them, and reuse that compute power for other services and other capabilities. It allows people also to extend their reach to existing services for things such as orders, for processing, and other capabilities, and allows you to dynamically take advantage of perhaps part of the world that is sleeping inside of your enterprise and part of the world that might be awake, to be able to best use the resources that are available versus needing organizations to have dedicated resources or dedicated capabilities pegged up to them all the time. And we all know that one computer translates into about 30 times the power consumption on the back end of that single computer. So if you look at a single computer being up supporting SOA, on the back end, by the time you've supported it with network equipment and you've supported it with power and chillers and floor space for the facility, you've actually put about a 30 times multiple on that single computer. So SOA helps you reduce that very front-end single computer that's actually doing the application time, and thus reduce that multiple at the same time on the amount of computers that you have to support.
That's a pretty startling statistic, and I think a lot of people would rethink how they use their personal computers in light of those facts. Getting back to the data center, you mentioned optimizing the use of the data center through better resource management. It's not just about reducing or consolidating servers, but actually utilizing resources more effectively. What are some of the strategies that customers are employing there?
We've put together a whole list, a starter kit of strategies that customers can employ. Many of these capabilities are on existing servers and existing environments that our clients already have today. Simple things. You can deduplify your data. Just removing the duplication from your mail, for example, can dramatically, on a large enterprise, reduce the amount of space, DASD, and the servers required to support it that are needed. We're seeing up to 80% reduction rates in storage required just by deduplication. You can also compress your storage and your data. So data-intensive environments should be looking at where compression can be applied, how to apply it, how to put it in as early as possible in the equation, so that you can also reduce the amount of server and storage data that's needed to be able to process that at the same time. So that's just one simple technique that you can use. Things such as being able to run scheduling both your applications, scheduling your workload dynamics, and being able to understand what you're scheduling on top of all play a role in being able to optimize your workloads and your infrastructure. Doing simple things such as when the transactions die down and turn the power off or turn the power down are new capabilities that we're bringing to market. We already understand where the transactions are and where they're running, but with some of the latest capabilities coming out on today's generation of servers, you can actually go when the transactions die down and turn the power down, I didn't say off, but down, on those servers so that those servers remain up and active but consume less power when there are fewer transactions running across them. And these are all new capabilities that are workload-based that you can use to drive different levels of efficiency across your organization, whether it's looking at your data, looking at the type of information that you collect and retain, looking at the scheduling of your workloads, or just simply being able to use some of the new capabilities that are out there to understand your workloads and use those to drive situations where you can control the power and the efficiency of your organization.
Now, systems management vendors, of course, for a long time have provided detailed reports on server utilization, network bandwidth, and such. But I understand Tivoli is really changing the game with some of the new reports you're bringing that actually take power consumption into account. What are those?
We've understood for years the utilization, the capacity, the health, and the performance of the technical components, whether those are servers or routers or switches. We've even clustered those together around application complexes and been able to say things like this set of servers and network devices support these critical business applications. Being able to bring in power and energy to this equation now for the first time provides people direct facilities-oriented visibility to those applications that so many people have defined in a business service dashboard or in a monitoring dashboard today. So you now have the ability to understand which servers are most efficient in my organization. And depending on the age of a server, you may select to put a new application on a different class of server than another based off its power efficiency or its power capabilities. Simple things such as being able to watch the application workload, which we've done for years with our systems management software, but now be able to go and affect the facility when that application workload dies down are new capabilities that we're bringing to market. So the ability, as I mentioned earlier, to turn down the power on the specific servers is a new capability that we're bringing to market. The other things that we're doing by integrating with the building automations partners that are out there in the industry or the buildings automation vendors that are out there in the industry as Tivoli partners is we can do things like not only turn the power down on the servers, we can turn the temperature up in the environment. And so why would you want to do that? Think about the weekend. What happens on the weekend? Nearly everybody goes home, and nearly every business in the world has its transactional volume ramped down. Well, if you can turn the power down on those servers, notice I didn't say off, if you can turn the power down on those servers and you can turn the temperature up inside of your data center while the application usage is low, you get a 2/7 return of whatever percentage benefit you get. It's a real ROI. It's a real thing that you can stuff back in your pocket in terms of the amount of money saved. And it's the type of benefit that we see people want to be able to get by linking the facility structure and the classic systems management structures together. And we've all had systems management policy and rules dashboards for years. So now that we've got the data available, we just use those existing policy dashboards to be able to drive new rules and new capabilities around energy efficiency. It's really quite a nice marriage that's pushing organizations to have discussions inside themselves that they haven't been able to have before.
So tell us about some of the ways customers are putting these new capabilities into use.
Once you have power and facilities information and thermatic information inside of your monitoring tools that also knows about the rest of your systems management world, there's really a couple very basic capabilities and scenarios that we're enabling customers to go do. One is green business service management. Many clients take our servers and our network devices and they organize them by application groups and they call these business services. And being able to put power and energy up in there allows you to see things such as brownout conditions, power consumed, and power-oriented capabilities that you might want to be able to drive. The simple scenario of watching the business service activity and turning the power up and down is one of the ones that we see out of green business service management. Green asset management is another one of the capabilities we see that customers wanting to do. Customers already have used Tivoli software for years to create asset maps, and they have actually pictures of their data center that show where every asset is located, or pictures of their enterprise that show where all the assets are located. All these assets that do give off power and temperature now can also be put on there, and you can actually start to look at those as a heat map or a power consumption diagram. So you can interactively look inside of your Tivoli visualization of your assets and be able to see, so how much power are they consuming and is that trending up or down and what's the heat coming off of them, and get a gradient heat map that you can see around your asset management tools just as a part of running our software. The third scenario is called green provisioning. When you decide where to put your next workload doing an RFC or request for change, you can decide to do it based off of the efficiency of how you want those applications to be run and to decide which resources are most efficient for you actually to put those new capabilities on top of from an energy point of view at the same time, because all servers are not created equal in terms of the power consumed, even though they might actually have the same amount of processing power. An older server uses more power than a newer server, for example, in almost every case. And then the last is chargeback and accounting. Clients for years have looked for metrics to be able to understand the true cost of running their data center. Being able to bundle it together by kilowatt hour and kilowatt consumed and looking at the amount of power consumed around applications and clusters and sets of servers, we think gives customers a more reliable and a more consistent view of the actual cost of running your applications than just looking at simple technology metrics like bandwidth or power or utilization or other types of server technology capabilities. So these are all areas in which consumers are using Tivoli Green Monitoring to be able to extend themselves.
IBM, of course, has always set itself up as sort of a role model for the solutions it sells to customers. So what is the company doing internally to leverage some of these new green features?
We've put a huge focus on being able to extend our people's capabilities, and we have taken the notion of being able to attack the people, the workloads, and the infrastructure as part of our key initiatives inside the IBM Corporation. To date, we have, for example, enabled over 40% of our employees to not regularly come into the office. We can attribute this to about $100 million a year of savings in just our internal IBM real estate costs. Now, bear in mind, we're a large organization, but that's a real savings to the IBM company in terms of the amount of real estate costs. And when I think real estate, I think about the lights on and off, the structures needed to support it, the power, the heating, the cooling of office buildings by allowing over 40% of our IBM employees to work from home or to travel and work as they go at the same time without having to go into an IBM location. Other things that we've done is looking at servers and being able to consolidate around the servers and the server footprints. We recently consolidated 3,900 distributed servers into 33 mainframe systems. And that provided, over those 3,900 servers, about an 80% annual energy savings of the cost of running those 3,900 by going to those 33 Z systems boxes or the IBM mainframes. Of course, your workload has to be something that applies to that, but the IBM mainframe is one of the greenest boxes on the platform just because it is a reduced footprint box. And so anytime you can put multiple workloads on top of a box of higher capacity from a processor point of view, you gain an energy footprint improvement, and being able to show that 80% of improvement in power consumed across those distributed servers for the IBM company has been a tremendous benefit. So it's those types of activities and more that we're enabling the IBM company to take advantage of and for our people to participate in.
Another intriguing thing, Chris, is that I understand there are money savings available through rebates and tax savings. Can you give us a couple of examples of those?
The notion of being able to demonstrate and prove your efficiency is something that governments around the world are endorsing. So depending where you're located, and if you're part of a multinational company, you might actually be able to take different advantage of different initiatives in different countries. But whether you look across Europe, whether you look over to the Asian countries, and including China, or whether you look inside of the United States, even at individual states, we see companies being incented to be able to demonstrate reduction in power and reduction in workload and reduction in carbon consumed by their people. So attacking the people, the workloads, and attacking the infrastructure all are recognizable benefits that governments are desiring the people to take advantage of, or they're desiring the corporations to take advantage of. And if depending on where you live and where you are, you can gain benefit by that. And so what we're doing inside of IBM with the new software capabilities we've announced from Tivoli is not only gathering that information for the first time, but being able to put it back out to you in reports and capabilities that you can take to certificate vendors who may actually issue you a certificate based on some of these reports that you bring to them showing the demonstrable savings, as well as being able to take some of the information back to the government and the agencies directly and be able to show them the amount of savings that you've been able to demonstrate over time, whether it's at your people and their carbon footprint or whether it's at the workload or the infrastructure. Our reports help you be able to demonstrate those capabilities because the governments are willing to give you either tax breaks, rebates, or what are called credits to be able to show benefit and incentive for you to be able to think of these programs and help initiate them inside your organizations and even cost justify them to management and to senior executives that ultimately are driven by shareholder demand inside of an enterprise and be able to adopt these as initiatives that your company would have. So we see and supporting these initiatives as a key part of generally helping people get more efficient and helping that across the world.
Well, thanks to Chris O'Connor, Vice President at IBM Software Group, for his illuminating comments on how organizations can reduce their overall energy footprint. And thanks to you for tuning in to this edition of the IBM Innovations Podcast, IBM Software for a Greener World. My name is Paul Gillen.